Welcome to the Feast of Tabernacles in Phoenix. It is a dry heat, they say, but right now I'm perspiring quite a bit. But it is my great pleasure to welcome all of you that came here tonight. It is, I think, a wonderful opportunity to come on the opening evening and start to feast out a certain way. I hope that every one of you have come here for the reason that God has convened this Feast of Tabernacles, and that is to worship God, worship the Almighty God and His Son that has revealed this truth to us. And I do think that you came for that reason, because you're here tonight. It takes extra effort to be here in the evening, and I very much appreciate the fact that you're here. But in Leviticus 23:34 says this: on the 15th day of the seventh month, so it's very specific about it, there shall be a Feast of Tabernacles for 7 days. And on the first day, there shall be a holy convocation. This is a holy convocation. It's not an assembly, a gathering of people. It's been convened. We've been told to be here. That holy means something that's set aside, that's sanctified for a sacred purpose. And a convocation means an appointed special time. It's not something constructed by man. It's not just an idea, man. We've been summoned to appear before God for a purpose, for the purpose that He has chosen. So that is the reason why I think that we all should want to be here, and why we have been instructed to be here by God's word. In Deuteronomy 16, and beginning in verse 13, let me read this to you. Deuteronomy 16, and beginning in verse 13. You shall observe the Feast of Tabernacles 7 days, when you've gathered from your threshing floor and from your winepress, and you shall rejoice in your feast. And you and your son and your daughter and your male and your servant and your female servant and the Levite and the stranger and the fatherless and the widow and who are within your gates. 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Eternal, your God, in the place which the Lord has chosen. Because the Lord your God will bless you and all your produce and all your work of your hands, so that you might surely rejoice, that we can do the things that He has instructed us to do about keeping this feast. And we are to rejoice in the place that God has chosen. And I think that you will see that God has chosen this place also. But like I said, this assembly here, this gathering that we have, is a sacred, something that's been convened, convoked by God. And it's sacred to God. It's something that we're not to profane. We're to rejoice. We're to give thanks. We're to praise God who's made this time, has made it so. So being careful is part of it. And I'd like to separate that word. Usually it's one word. Careful. I think that being careful is a part of it. I think it's being careful in all that we do. But Deuteronomy 12:32, God says this: whoever, whatsoever I command you to do, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, and you shall not take away from it. So I'm asking you to be full of care at this Feast of Tabernacles here in Phoenix. I'm asking you to care about the important things while you're here, the things that God has blessed us with. It's important to remember the blessings that God gives, to single them out and to think about these blessings, to add them up and to think about them continually. In Philippians 2, it's 2:5, it says this. In Philippians 2, in verse 5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Think about that. Think about the way that He thought about things. He wanted to do His Father's will. He wanted to obey His Father and do what He wanted Him to do. And skipping on down to verse 13, it says, for it is God who works in you, both to will, He stirred our hearts to be here and to do. He has given us the ability to do what we needed to do to be here. For his good pleasure, it is his pleasure that we come here, that we be here. And to do all, and we're asked to do all these things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And we see that crookedness and perverseness increasing by leaps and bounds today, among whom you shine as lights of the world. We should do that. We should be able to go out of this door tonight and tomorrow. We should be able to reflect before God as a light before this world. We should be different than this world, and it should show. And it should constantly show. God wants us to be in mind and heart and in spirit in that reality of the kingdom to come. And for 7 days, we have this time period where we are going to be together, and we can do that. We can celebrate that kingdom to come. The time when Christ will rule all of the kingdoms of this earth. The time when Christ and his saints, those who have pleased him and done the things that he once has wanted them to do, and have shown everybody, including Christ, that we can be trusted. So we are given many wonderful blessings to use, many wonderful blessings that we are to be careful about how we use, too. There's a short welcome video from Mr. Kubik that is going to be shown now. It's, I don't know exactly how long it is. I think it's about 7 minutes long. But Mr. Randy Love, the man who's a pastor of Yuma congregation who's assisting me this year, will come up and give announcements right after that. But we'll play the video now, and then after that, Mr. Randy Love will give some announcements. The reason why Mr. Love had to go through all those papers is my fault. I will take the blame for that. I'll tell you what happened is that I had there's a new printer out there, and it had to be installed on our computers. So I had a driver, little disk, installation disk, and so I put it in my computer this afternoon, and it wouldn't come back out for them to. So Mr. Love had to, on the spur of the moment, about 5 minutes before services, he had to sit down here and scribble out a bunch of notes from everywhere, all over the place, and we were racking our brain trying to, because we had no computer to pull them off of. So anyway, we will we'll do better now because that's installed now. So anyway, I very much, as he said, appreciate what Mr. it wasn't just Mr. Kubik, but the words that were on that video that we saw. I didn't preview that video at all, and I very much appreciate what was said. I have a short message for you this evening here to finish up. What I gave is just was an introduction for it. But as I said, we're here to do what God said. We're here to learn what God wants us to learn. And we're here to have the right kind of fear of him. He is an awesome God, awesome being. When we stop and look at the things that he has done, the things that he has done through aeons of time, time that we don't even begin to understand, and when we see the things that he's doing now, and we see the promises that he has, we should tremble at that, and it should be something that we absolutely should tremble in our boots about, because of his greatness and his majesty and his might. I don't know how many of you know who Cal Thomas is. I like some of the things that he says, but Cal Thomas said this recently. This society's growing knowledge has given us everything except happiness. We make instantaneous connections with each other, and we don't know how to respectfully use them. We are immersed in horrific events today, and we tweet about those events just instantaneously. And I think the horrendousness of some of these things that are going on, it just goes right over our head. But we're here to rejoice in the things that God has given us. We're here to rejoice because God is a God of peace. And we're here to serve his son, who is the Prince of Peace, who is the coming King of Kings, the one that will have this kingdom that will never end. And if we are careful, as I said, if we're full of care, we can more likely see what it is that God asks us to do. And the scripture that I read you earlier, you shall rejoice. We can see how to do that better. And because it says also in verse 15, because he will bless you, that we saw that. I didn't know what was going to be on that video. I didn't see that. These notes were written a while ago. But when we understand the words that eternal God has declared to us, there's great reason to rejoice. Nehemiah 8:18 gives a time when the feast was kept in days of old. And these holy days were designed by God, and they were declared to us to keep them in such a way that we do have respect for them. We do rejoice, and we do come before him. And as it says in verse 8 in chapter 8, verse 8, so they read distinctly from the book, and that will be done. I've seen the notes of the men that were going to speak here, and I'm sure that they're going to read to you distinctly from the book and the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And I ask that you all pray about that, that that is what's done here. And the commandment here in verse 10 is said to them, and Nehemiah was explaining this to them at that gathering. He said to them, go your way, eat the fat and drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. And that is the what we do at the feast, but especially at the Feast of Tabernacles. For this day is a holy to our Lord. And do not sorrow. The things that we experience ourselves, the things that are going on in this society, the things that burden us, if you will, are something that we could say, well, how can I rejoice under these conditions? How can I have that type of an attitude of mind when these things are going on? But we have to remember, this 8 days of time is set aside for us to get our mind off of these things and to get our mind on to the things of God and to be, as I said, careful about those things, thinking about them. Take care, as we heard in the video, to pray every day. Take care to be close to God. Take care to read God's word. And we will read God's word not only here, but we should ponder these things when we're alone, when we're by ourselves, and when we're with our family. And these things that we're to do are so very important for us to do. And then it says in verse 18 of chapter 8, also in Nehemiah, also from day to day, from the first day, and that first day begins this evening, until the last day, he read from the book of the law of God, and they kept the feast 7 days, and on the eighth day there was a sacred assembly. Remember what I said earlier? A sacred assembly according to the prescribed manner. So we're here to do that too. It says this in Isaiah 52:7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who proclaims peace, who brings glad tidings of good things, who proclaims salvation, who says to Zion, the Israel of God, your God reigns. And in Psalms 33:1, it says this, rejoice in the Lord, all you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. In our time that we spend here, these 8 days, we can do that. We can bring good news. We can proclaim peace. We can do that. When we can talk about good things, we can be careful to do that. We should see ourselves doing what that scripture says in Isaiah 57:2. We, not just some minister, not just some, maybe even a video. It's not that. It's between each other. Those of us that are in this room together, those within this room that go out somewhere else, we can do those things. Why can we do those things? Why are we able or enabled to do these things and to practice these things? Because in some sense of the word, we're here to play the role, to practice the role that we will have in that kingdom of God. We can act it out right here, right now, for 8 days. We can do that. We can be the kind of people that will be in that kingdom. We can be the kind of people that Jesus Christ is going to entrust with that kind of role, with that kind of leadership. The people that will be there with him, caring about other people, taking care of the situations that are there. So how do we do that every day at this feast? And it is my desire and my prayer before God's throne for you to do these things. Number one thing, we already heard it tonight. Stay close to God. He's always caring about us. He wants us to be in his kingdom, even when he's correcting us, even when things are going where we don't think that we would like to see them to go. It's because he wants us there in that kingdom to come. He wants us to be in that time of plenty, that time of beauty, that time when has all these sparkling attributes that we always constantly rehearse at this time of the year. And we should be giving glad tidings about those promises that are written in his word. If we believe that they're going to be there, and if we believe that we have a part in it, we should have that mindset now. We should think that way now. And to stay close to God, we have to study his word, not just in these services when we point out a few verses, not just here. And we should be giving glad tidings about these things that we read in his word. And we should seek the help of all the people that are here, and we should seek to represent this community to these other people that will be here. This is an unusual situation in this synagogue that we have here. This is a relationship, I believe it's 24 years long that Phoenix has had a congregation here in this synagogue. And it's like we share, as you, some of you that came earlier, you saw us sharing this place with them. And we have a responsibility to be the kind of people that God wants us to be while we're here. We're here to control ourselves, to be careful about ourselves. We can't make our emphasis to control other people. So don't let the conditions surrounding us keep us from staying close to God. Don't let that happen, whatever it is. Don't let the conditions surrounding us that we might hear on the TV, the things that we might hear about, don't let them limit our rejoicing here at this feast. And don't let them limit us putting God first in all that we do. Conditions shouldn't matter. In Habakkuk, Habakkuk 3, if I can find Habakkuk. I didn't mark my Bible here. I'll get there. Okay, Habakkuk 3. And I want to read you in verse 17. Look at the conditions that are here. I know there's some people in this room that might actually feel this way. And I know that there are times when any one of us can feel that way. But though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vine, nor the labor of olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, and though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the Lord, the God of my salvation. I want you to think about that. Those conditions are pretty severe, I would say. I had someone give me that in a time of trouble years ago. I still got it in my briefcase. I could pull it out of my briefcase tonight and show it to you. I keep it in my briefcase all the time Because every time I look at it, it helps me stay focused on the purpose for what I'm doing. And it helps me stay focused on the purpose for being here. We're here to obey God. And we're here to have this 8-day period of time to enable us, to help us, to strengthen us to stay close to God. And the next thing I ask you to do while you're here is this, is to think past yourself. As I've already said, be refreshing to others. That is the purpose of the kingdom, to restore the things of God and to be a refreshment to all of the mankind that's still alive at that time. So be refreshing to others. How do we do that? How do all of us do that? We do that by asking God to enable us to do that. We ask God to let his spirit work in us to be able to do that. In 2 Corinthians 1, there's a few verses here I want to read to you. In 2 Corinthians 1, and in verse 3, beginning in verse 3, the Apostle Paul wasn't just talking about himself and the ministry, I don't think, when he said these things. I think he was talking, it's instruction to each and every one of us. It's not just the Apostle Paul talking about what the ministers should do. And people do go to ministry. People do ask the ministers to deal with some of the issues and help them to see things a little more clearly at times. But this is something I think that each of us should do. And this is where the direction that we should have in our mindset about it. In 2 Corinthians 1 and beginning in verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of all mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble, with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So it's a promise of fact that we will be comforted, the fact that we will be enabled, the fact that we can, because God has and does comfort us, be able to comfort others. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. Now, if we are afflicted, and we are, it is for your consolation and salvation. It's important to remember that, which is effective for enduring the same afflictions which we also suffer. So if we are comforted, it is for your, and he's talking about himself in the situation, all the sufferings that he went through. Or if we are comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And so our hope for you is steadfast, because we know that as you are partakers of the sufferings or the difficulties that we encounter, so also you shall partake in the consolation, the encouragement. So be an encourager. Think past yourself, as I said. Bring good news, as I said earlier, even if we have difficulties here. And I'm sure there's going to be things that you may think don't go exactly right here. I'm sure there's things that's going to be changed. We plan a certain routine, a certain schedule. And I don't think that schedule is going to be absolutely fixed and no deviation to that. So when we encounter things that are not exactly right here, you know, don't come apart about it. Don't, you know, get over it, as they say. You know, we're all here trying to do the best that we can to serve God and to obey him. And these 8 days are going to give us opportunity to practice giving hope and practice bringing good news to each other and to be strengthened by that so that we can take that home and use it and to be refreshed by it. Galatians 5:25 says this, if we live in the Spirit, in other words, if we have that new life, let us walk, or in other words, do. Walking is action, it's doing something, it's movement. Let us walk in the Spirit. In other words, do those things that the Spirit leads us to do. Read that again. the kind of things that we should have, joy and peace, and practice those things. So do those things of the Spirit while you're here. Let's look and, well, I'm just going to refer you. I am a one that gives a lot of homework too, so I'm going to refer you to this. Look in Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and read those things again. Read about the love and the joy and the peace and the self-control and the things of the Spirit and the kindness that we should have to others and the praise that we should have towards God. So spread the good news about the kingdom to come, because that kingdom will come and God's will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. So help others. Help others here. Help by serving. Don't just think about your pleasure. Think past yourself and share with others in every way. And also, the third thing I ask you to do is to bring peace. The God of peace has given us reconciliation because we were at odds with him and we didn't have anything but death awaiting us without that reconciliation. Consider this. Pass it on. Pass it on. Romans 5, 1 through 2. We should have peace with God. We should be at total peace with him, and it should show. We don't have to have the attitude of mind where we're still fired up about everything, that we want to react and retaliate about this or about that. So it says this in Romans 5 and 1, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one that reconciled us to the Father, through whom we also have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. Thank God that we have that. And rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, the promise of eternal life, the promise of eternal life and the kingdom to come. And not only that, if that wasn't enough, we have something that we need to do in this time, in this tribulation, if you will, that we live in. But we also glory in tribulation. Now, that sounds like a dichotomy. How can you do that? But we do that because we know the plan of God. We know what his purpose is. And we know what his intent is. And we know what he plans for us. And the finish of that verse says this. Knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. And perseverance, character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because of the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. So think about that. Think about what all these things has been done for us and the fact that we now have this ability to proclaim that kind of peace in our mind and our heart. Let's look also over in Colossians. Colossians 3 has a little more advice for us. Colossians 3, and I want to begin in verse 12 because it's addressed directly to us. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy, he set us apart, sanctified us for a holy purpose, and beloved. That ought to sink in very deep. Put on, because we're the elect, put on tender mercies, kindness, and humility, and meekness, and long-suffering, bearing with one another, and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you must. That's a strong word. So you must do. But above all things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. I want you to think about that. I said I'd give a lot of homework. Would you do me a favor? Would you go home if you can tonight, or first thing in the morning. Services aren't till 1:30. Even if you want to be here for the lunch at 12, you have plenty of time in the morning to do this. Read 1 Corinthians 13 again. I know you all have, but read it again, slow. Think about it. Think about what it says. For you see, this is the mind that's going to be in the kingdom. And I want you to rejoice about that. This is the way God is. I want you to rejoice about that. I want you to consider this. It's the wave of the future. I have this little saying I say, it's as old as the hills, because God is the creator God, the creator of all things. He's made the hills. And it's the wave of the future. He promises right here. So why can you do this? Because our Heavenly Father made it so. He says so. Romans 8 and 16. See, there's every reason to do these things. There's every reason to rejoice here, as he's asked us to do. He's asked us to rejoice. He's asked us to consider what it is that he's done. So there's every reason to do these things. In Romans 8, and beginning in verse 16, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. We are the children of God, if nothing else, by the flesh that we have. He's the creator God that made us this way. We are children of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed, listen very carefully, if indeed we suffer with him, it is difficult at times, that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. There is every reason to stay close to God. There's every reason to think past yourself. And there's every reason to bring peace in everything that you do. In Philippians 4:4, remember these words that are in Philippians 4:4. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So that's all I have to say to you this evening. It's not that long, and I wanted to make it short on purpose, but I wanted you to hear what God's mindset is on this Feast of Tabernacles. And I wanted to tell you what my mindset is on this Feast of Tabernacles. So I hope you have a wonderful evening. I hope you truly do rejoice. I hope you enjoy yourself here. There's many ways to do that. And I hope that you be careful. Be careful. And I'll see you tomorrow.